We've been, it's been fascinating for me the past couple weeks. We've been doing some very interesting things. We're getting ready. Right, part of maturing, part of becoming an adult, and this is why people steigen Eretz Yisrael, is you leave the state of being a kid, a katan, and you become a gadol. One of the big milas, aside from the obvious skulas of Eretz Yisrael, is that your parents are not around. And, you know, sometimes that gets you into bigger trouble, maskim, but a lot of times it scares you that, wow, I actually have to do something with myself. Until then, it was like, it's just about staying out of trouble with your parents. Like, as long as, then when you're alone, you're like, whoa, am I a person? Am I something? I'm just like this little schoolboy who's just trying to stay out of trouble. Am I something? Am I somebody? And of course, that process leads us all the way to becoming a model husband, a model father. And the earlier you start this maturation process, this maturity, that's really what it is, the better off you are. And then there are people who are 80 years old and they still have like leather jackets with spikes and they're on their Harley and they look ridiculous. I once was in the airport with this granny. She was like, she was for sure 80 years old and she had purple hair. It's like to see a bubby with purple hair, like this did me in. I'm like, wow. Like she made it to 80 with the purple hair. Like that's an accomplishment. But unfortunately we don't have purple hair, but a lot of us just continue in this tiny, tiny way of being. Like I heard from Agudin Rav Moshe Shapiro, you know, when you're young, you play with toys, and then you play with more sophisticated toys. But you touch my toy, like in Gan, and then you touch my car, what you doing? You know, it's the same sugya. You're still the same guy, you just have a different vocabulary, a different way of saying the same thing. But this is the whole goal. If you would ask me the whole goal of this stage of life, it's to grow up. It's to become an adult, to become a responsible person, take responsibility for yourself, realize that your actions have implications on everyone around you. Most importantly, going to be your wife and children will suffer with whatever you are, or they will enjoy you and look up to you. But that requires a long process. So now we're going to hit a sugya. I was waiting to give Shirin Bav Metzia. My day has come. Baruch Hashem, Higati, because the sugya that we're going to discuss is something that we'll come back to a little later, but Rav Asher Chechik Shlita, who was the only one in the Beis Medrash right after Super Seder, I was exhausted, he was there, Rambams were open, I don't know what's going on. He asked me a question, and I felt like this is Shmuz material, this is my chance to get into Bava Metzia. The Gemara says in Hazav, on Daf Nun Ches, something very, very harsh. It says that there are three people who don't make it out of Gehenna. Again, we don't like to make a big deal of Gehenna. That's not the minhag today, but obviously it's not a good place to be. And if it says that you don't get out of there, that's definitely not good. So what did these guys do? You know, they rob banks, they kill out countries. What is so terrible? Habal Eshes Ish, someone who takes someone else's wife. Hamalbim Pnei Chaveru Barabim, someone who humiliates someone in public. Vamechane Shem Ra LeChaveru, and somebody who gives their friend a derogatory nickname. Whoa. So ask Rav Asher, he says, Rebbe, what's going on? He says, what about all of us? What's going on? You know, according to this Gemara, the regular Halach Yelech, the regular situation of daily life, is one where people are out of the game. Game over. So the truth is that, first of all, that's true. But there's always, Baruch Hashem, an opportunity to recalculate, to reassess what we're doing. And Baruch Hashem is very patient with us. When we're kids, he understands we're kids. But now we have to understand the severity of things that we consider in our lives as trivialities, things that are not a big deal. And this is the sugya of onah. It's the sugya of causing pain to a person. One-liners, bashing, these types of things. Making people feel like a zero. Making people feel like a zero. I was blown away. There's a new term. It's not a new term in sports, but it's a new term in social context, which is called a non-factor. A non-factor is a very interesting word. On a team, it's not so bad. I mean, I wouldn't want to be a non-factor on a football team. not too big of a compliment, but okay, it's a descriptive term. However, people today say the following thing. They go, hey, what did you do for Shabbos? Oh, I was by David's house. Who was there? Ah, oh, Shmuley, Yitzi, Baruch, and two non-factors. People speak this way. Two non-factors. Very interesting. Who are these mysterious Mr. X's? They're people who I've donned to be totally insignificant, where I don't want to waste from my mouth that they exist. They're non-factors. They're zeros. Such a term did not exist before, and as the society erodes and becomes decays more and more, things like this exist. He's a non-factor. You are a zero. And Chazal already taught us that this is the yesod of what we call onas dvarim. And it's preparation for marriage, guys. Because guess what? Who's the biggest culprit and the most dangerous person to mess around with when it comes to one-liners and making a person feel like a zero? The Rebbetzin. It's a Mefurisha Gemara. It's not in every Sugin Shas. Dafke here in Bava Metzion Daf Nuntes, the Gemara says that a person should realize La'olam Ye'adam Zahir Ba'onas Ishto. A person has to be careful on the lines that he says to his wife. Shemitok Shedimasa Mitsuya Onasa Krova. She's very sensitive and she's going to cry. She's going to cry, she's going to feel it. And we're going to explain later, Bezus Hashem, I hope to remember, to come back to this, how an entire marriage could be destroyed by sarcasm, by one-liners. And again, it starts before the marriage. It starts by understanding the sugya. So let's go, let's try to understand. Says the Mishnah in Bava Metzia. Kishem she'ona b'mekach u'memkar, kach ona b'dvarim. There's a sugya called onas dvarim. Lo yomar kama chepet zeh v'eino rotza likach. A guy goes into the store, right? He goes into, like, let's make it interesting, you know, an art gallery, and the place is about to go bankrupt. And he goes in there and goes, that over there, what's that? Is that a Picasso? Aha. I'm a worldly man, and I have a, you know, and all that. He's like, wow, we got. And his friends are with him. He's like, come on, you know. It's like, maybe I'll take four of those. They're so excited. Wow, it's going to take us. She's like, just joking. Bye. Kol tov, bracha v'hatzlacha. This is not even shopping. Everybody knows when you shop, a lot of times you price things. That's not this, because if people know you're pricing something, that's not causing this agmas nefesh. You go into a store, and you basically, you know, go in there, play with people. You play with them. Fine, that's one. Then the next one is a baal tshuva. Lo yomer lo zechor ma'asecha rishonim. I remember when you were, you know, whatever, I don't want to say here, but I remember what you were doing that, you were over there, I remember that. But the guy here, he's a changed man, and you're bringing him into that schmutz. Fine, that's also a terrible thing. Then a ben gerim, a convert. He goes, I remember when you weren't part of our people. You were, you know, you were from another group entirely. Again, taking a person who is doing fine right now and going down. Frek the Maharal Akasha. And I'm telling you, certain things are so profound. I don't need to go to Eshat Torah with Bible codes. Some things I read in my life prove to me that Torah is min hashamayim, no problem. This Maharal, how he touches this Mishnah, is, for me, it's worth all the Bible codes in the world. I don't need it. Says the Maharal, he says he doesn't understand the Mishnah. Says, this is a development here that's not being mechadish bigger things. It starts off with a small thing. A guy goes into a store, you know, like a prank call. People used to do this when they were younger. I got caught just now. Okay, it was very fun. But, you know, it's a small thing. Okay, that's one thing. Fine. But then to take a baal tshuva and bring him down like that, take a ger. So say the bigger chiddush last. What should be the last thing that's said here? The practical joke of going into that, you know, store and pretending you're going to buy it. Morale's bothered by the order over here. You start always with the more obvious thing, and then you go to the bigger chiddush. So the grand finale should be not just to beat up that baal tshuva, to beat up that guy who's a ger and he was originally a guy, but even to go into the store and play that practical joke. And the Maharal says something that shows that the way we see things is the exact opposite of what they are. Listen carefully. He says, no. He says, by a Baal Tshuva, what's going on? So you're coming to him and you're saying, you did this, you think you're so frum right now, well, you did that before. You're accusing him of something. There's something that he did wrong. That's very bad, because what you're doing is you're defaming him in something that he did before. You're saying you were immoral, and I'm trying to bring that back now. I'm trying to remind you of that. By the ger, it's not as bad, says the Maharal. Why? Because what you're doing is you're reminding him of a time that he was just born that way. It's true he was originally a guy, but at the end of the day, he didn't do anything wrong there. So the level of defaming him, of making him feel like a zero is less, because you're just telling him something that was out of his control. So therefore, we understand that Seder in the Mishnah. Baal Tshuva is hitting him harder because you're telling him things that he should have known better. By a ger, you're hitting him with something that was out of his control. But why is the worst thing you can do is to go in that store? And listen carefully, this is amazing. Says the Maharal, he says, in all the other cases, the person exists by you. He exists by you. You're just ranking him out on something and you're trying to bring him down. He says, but here, in this case, you made someone into a joke. You go into that store, you see this guy, he's your prey, right? This guy. I go, and he's my toy. For those minutes that he's in the store, that emotional reality of that guy, that excitement, that anticipation of the sale, you are my joke. You're a non-factor. I'm looking at you like a zero. I come in there and you're my toy. I'm bored and you're going to be my fun. Your entire existence for those moments is a joke. I've taken your metzias and I've made you into a joke. Says the Maharal, this is the worst onas dvarim you can do, is make someone the butt of your jokes. Take somebody, his entire existence for those moments, and say, you don't exist. You're not around. You're not here, Bichlal. Turning people into jokes. I'm going to say something a little bit strange, okay? You might think I'm a little deranged. But I think what we have to work on is not taking pictures of people in the shower and posting them on the bulletin board. That's what I think we have to work on. You say, you know, everyone's going to go out there and see who's out there, you know, oh, la, 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 la. You know, I tie not everybody's out there. You can't see it? Taking pictures of people when they're naked. This is our problem. Rashiva's going to fire me for this. Like, he's lost his mind. I've lost my mind. But come into my Mishigas for a second. Bear with me for a second. We say a bracha every morning, Malbish Arumin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothes people who are naked. Very nice. I think the most obvious pshat there is that, you know, when it's cold outside, it's good to have a coat, right? But there are a lot of great things that Hashem does for us. But this thing is very interesting. He clothes people who are naked. Fine, let's say it's very hot outside. It's good to be naked. You know, if it's very hot, if it's 100 degrees, so there, okay. So what's Hashem doing over here? And we find in V'halachta Bidracha, there's a mitzvah to be like Hashem. Just like Hashem is Mevaker Cholim, the Gemara in Sota says. He visits the sick. Understand that one. He's Menachem Aveilim. He comforts the mourners. You should do that. And just like he's Malbish Arumim. Okay. It's nice. I mean, stuck I hear. But Malbish Arumim, what's this idea of dressing people who are naked? What is the concept? And listen well, and this also will take out, you won't need to hear any Bible codes after this one. What does it mean to be naked? The answer is, originally being naked was not embarrassing at all. It was not. Adam HaRishon and Chava were perfectly happy naked. They were. Something strange happened. They ate from that Eitz Hadas, all of a sudden, they have to cover up. Any thinking person who's read these parshas has to be bothered. What in the world happened over here? What is the big deal? The first sugya in the Torah is about being naked. I'm sorry for talking this way. But it's any thinking person has to wonder, what in the world is going on over here? What happened? Says the Vilna Gaon in Adaras Eliyahu. Says, very simple. Originally, the body was a suitcase for the neshama. And it was something that was didn't reflect any type of chisaron, any type of lacking, any type of something that's missing in me, any type of thing that I would be embarrassed of. Once they ate from that Eitz Hadas, then all of a sudden their body had Ra, had bad things integrated in it, and that body was the last thing they wanted to be seen. If you want to know who I am, don't look at this. Because this body, it's now schmutz. I'm so much bigger than this. Please cover me. Cover me up. Because this is not me. I'm so much bigger than what you see in front of me. The idea of an Arum is somebody who is caught naked. He's caught naked. You call him out. That's exactly what it is. You catch him with his without his clothes on, you call him out. What you do is you find that problem in him and you highlight it in front of everyone. You take a picture of him in the shower. That's exactly what a person does when he has one of these lines. He finds a weakness, he highlights it, and then he's got the guy. And while he's naked, that guy feels like the biggest loser in the world. Why? Because right now, everyone's just watching you naked. They don't care. I could give over the Gettysburg Address, okay? I don't know who did that. Anybody know who did that? Abraham Lincoln. Okay, see, I'm forgetting my Girsa D'Yankusa. And if I'm not wearing clothes, I don't care how good this address was, Rabotai. I was like, hey, but I've got the Gettysburg Address here. Somebody listen to me. No, we're looking at your chesrinus. We're looking at how ridiculously small you look over here. And we find, mamish, another parsha in the Torah. Cham was the son of Noach. Noach got shikr, Rachmana Litzlan, and he became revealed. Vayar Cham avi Knan es ervas aviv. Cham saw his father and in his demise. He saw him without his clothes on, literally. Vayageid l'shnei achiv b'chutz, and he told everybody about it. He took a picture. He took a picture. He highlighted the chisaron of someone else and made the sugya of kibud avaim, of the greatness of a father, into a big joke. He made the father, not just a regular person, but his own father, where there's a separate mitzvah of showing his greatness. The Chai Yadim says you have to believe your father's the gadol hador in a certain area. That's how you're makayim kibud avaim. You have to see a mila, one mila, whatever it is. And he took his father and he took a picture while he was in the shower. And what did Shem v'Yefes do? They walked backwards. They took a simla, a cover, and they covered up the erva of their father. And there are two types of people in the world, Rachmana Litzlan. There are people who highlight the person who's naked, and they're the people who are trying to be malbish arumim, who are trying to make people big, let people shine. Not trying to take pictures of them, but pum fakert, they're trying to highlight everything that's great about them, everything that's amazing about them. And people are saying such terrible lashonos. People, for no reason, a guy can't work a stereo. Hey, stupid retard, can't you work the stereo? You realize what those words are? Stupid. You took a picture of him naked. Retarded? I can't imagine ever calling someone mentally retarded who's Baruch Hashem. You know what you're saying? No, it's just, that's the way people speak? No, you did it. What you did was, because he can't figure out the stereo, you made that him. You are a retard. You're stupid. You can't work the stereo. That line is taking a picture of somebody and making him a zero for something so absolutely insignificant. And if you walk into any room at any night, you will hear any type of thing like this. If you go into the lunchroom at any point, this is the way people talk to each other. It's taking a picture of somebody's chisaron, calling people out. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm highlighting that chisaron. I'm highlighting what it is. And you can kill people this way. You know, there are two types of jokes in the world. There are two types of jokes. Stand-up comics, for the most part, they go with jokes that are funny because they're true. That's how many of you guys from New York? And everyone's, oh yeah, New York, they're so weird, I love it, it's too true. They're half drunk, they're drunk totally anyway. It's very easy in a comedy club to get laughs. People are coming to laugh. That's one type of joke. It's funny because it's true. Then there's another type of joke, which is the Hollywood today thrives on this. It's a total evolution of jokes, which are things that so can't be true that they're funny. So absolutely ridiculous that they can't be true. So they'll have a whole movie about things where every scene is like, that just can't be. Well, how did this guy get? Whoa, what's a, and that's funny because it can't be true. There are two types of humor in the world. Now, this type of joke, I was just joking. No. That's not an excuse. You can't tell your friend you're joking. Why? Because it's funny, because it's true. If the pshat was that I was making you, I told you you are Donald Duck. Okay, that's not such a bad one, right? Because it's so, you're just not Donald Duck, so everybody will laugh, especially if they're drunk. Everybody will laugh. It's not funny because it's true. But if I find something in you and I highlight that, it's funny because it's true. That means I made your life into a joke. You can't say because I was joking. That's the whole problem. You found something about this person, you highlighted it, and you made him a zero. You made him an absolute non-factor. You made him into entertainment. That's exactly what happened. And the truth is, I've seen it twice. Purim spiels. Purim spiels that have destroyed Rabbeim, not in this yeshiva. In other yeshivas, I've seen Purim spiels that have crushed Rabbeim. Two particular scenarios. One I was involved in when I was younger. I saw it as a bacher. And one I heard about at an older time. What happens? So the pshat is when you prepare a Purim spiel, and this yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, there's no below the belt, so to speak, in this. I'm not speaking about that. Just to appreciate the sugya. What happens when a Rebbe's at a Purim spiel and they start imitating the Rebbe? You know what's going on in the Rebbe's mind? Oh my goodness. This is what they think I am. Why? Because it's funny, because it's true. It's not the pshat. It's not the pshat that it's just off. It's right. And that's why everyone's laughing. And the Rebbe comes home. He says, I want to quit in chinuch. This is what I am. I'm just a joke. A person has the koach to do that. Even to a big person, you can just show him, by the way, this is what you are. You put a person like that on a platter, and that's it. So it sounds like it's trivial. Like Reb Asher was mentioning that everybody does this, but everybody's got a machine gun out. Everybody's destroying the greatness of other people. Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer was known that when you would go to him with a shtickle tyra, regardless of what it was, by the time he was done with you, he made your shtickle tyra into such an incredible shtickle tyra that you felt like $1 million. You know what that's called? A malbish arumin. Someone who covers up your problems. Those are real friends. Real friends, when they see something's wrong, they don't want to see that. They want to downplay it. They want to be malbish you. Because why? Because that's not you. That's you because you happen to have a terrible three-pointer. That's you. We're going to call you by that. We're going to call you coordination. Like, you can't take the three-pointer. You call them, hi, coordination. How you doing? What's going on, coordination? Right? You know? What's happening over here? You are that. Now I turned you into a three-pointer that you... He's got a whole life. He's got so much to offer. No. I've made you into a zero. And now we come, mamish, to the sugya in Bava Metzia that Reb Asher mentioned. Let's try to understand this with another maral. This maral is not in Chidushei Agoras in Bava Metzia. This maral is in Nesiv Rea Toiv and Nesiv Asoilam. And there he deals with this obvious problem that this is very extreme. There are three people who aren't seeing the light of day. A guy who's bal an eshes ish, someone who steals someone's wife, somebody who gives a derogatory name, and somebody who embarrasses somebody who's malbin bnei chaveru berabin. Now, the eshes ish seems a little bit random over here. You know, it's like two things about insulting people, giving them bad nicknames, fine, and embarrassing them in public, fine, and then this eshes ish thing, which is like, okay, it's bad, but it shouldn't be in this list. It's after the Maharal, you'll see how everything is exact. Says the Maharal the most amazing thing. He says, these three averas have in common a destruction of the person who's in front of you. A total destruction of the person. And he says, that's why they're not leaving Gehenna, because Gehenna is a place of total destruction, and people who are destroyers on the highest level get stuck there, because that's what it is. It's a place of where non-existence, it's a place where you can actually feel like you don't exist. You know, we like to think that if, like, the Goyim will just fizzle out, they'll go poof. A lot of them will. They won't feel like they don't exist, they'll just die. says, but Gehenna, you know what it's like? It's where you're aware that you don't exist. That's the terrible pain of, imagine being aware that you're a non-factor. Like, you're aware of your non-existence. It's not like you just don't exist. Says the Maharal, these three averis are matim, are appropriate for this place called Gehenna. Why? Because they destroy the person that's in front of them. Firstly, Malbim Pnei Chaveru Barabim. Malbim Pnei Chaveru Barabim. What is the punim of a person? What does it mean to whiten someone's face? Says the Gemara in Brachas, on Daf Nun Ches. The Maral doesn't bring this Gemara, but I'm using it to explain what he's saying. The Gemara says in Brachas on Nun Ches, that when you see 600,000 people, you say a bracha, Baruch Chacham Arazim. What's so wondrous about 600,000 people? She'ein daitem dom azelazeh, their opinions are not the same. Ve'ein partzufeim dom azelazeh, and their faces are different. What is this? Is it two concepts? Different faces, different ideas? No! The face is the place where you see what a person is. The word panim means face, and the word pnim means inner self. I know people only from their panim. You can't know people from their back, from their neck down. You can't know them. Their whole personality comes out from them. All the dimensions of who they are is in their face, and that's why there will never be two people that look alike. Even the lookalikes, you know, they need the makeup and all that. The wives never get confused with the lookalikes. And they're wearing wigs, a lot of these people also. Everybody looks different, they must. You know why? Because each person has a unique contribution. Each person is a somebody, is a great man, is here that an irreplaceable. He's an irreplaceable person. He's the opposite of a non-factor. And why I take one of those guys, says the Maharal, and I make him a joke in public, I take his face, his punim, and I'm malbin them. I whitewash it. I take white out. Oh, you think you're unique? You're a joke. This is what I do to him. He thinks he's got his own opinion. He thinks he's got his own. He's a monkey in the zoo. Just like the monkeys, if they don't tag their behinds, you'll have no idea which one's Larry and which one's Harry. So too, this is what a person is doing when he embarrasses his friend on any level. And it could be right after the schmooze. It could be over the stupidest things. Over just being ahead in line and taking an extra piece of meat. A person's willing to risk everything to make somebody feel like a piece of dirt. He's malbin the punim. He whitens the uniqueness of the person who's in front of him. And the next avera, mikane shem ra. He gives a bad nickname. Says the Maharal, he says the true essence of a person is their name. Right? We know the Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, if you want to know what's the essence of a person, my name is Chaim Dov Ben Noach. Somehow, if you would know, if you would know how to read that, you would see all of my dimensions of who I am are that. And you know what I say to you? I say, you're not Chaim Dov. You're coordination. You're your three-pointer. I take your name that makes you unique, that's everything that's you, and I say, no, you're a big zero. I'm a kind of you l'shem ra. I totally obliterate your entire existence, your entire metzias. And this is what happens. This is a terrible thing. The whole world does it. Guess what? They'll all go down together. What do you want me to tell you? This is lethal, according to the Torah. And somebody who does these things is in big trouble. And what does Esh Yesish have to do with this? Perfect. You'll see this. Goodbye, Bible codes. Esh Yesish, you know what you do when you take someone's wife? It says in Chazal, you've heard it at every Sheva Brachos, a man is not a man unless he's got his Rebbetzin. Right? Somebody who steals someone's wife is chopping off half of the guy's neshama. That's what he's doing. When you take somebody else's wife, that's part of him. Not just part of his body. Says the Maharal, all of these averas are worse than murder. Because murder can't get into the neshama of a person. You just kill them and the neshama flies away. These all, you're holding on to what makes them real, and you're saying they're non-factors. You're making them into zeros. You're calling them out on things to the point where they don't have any shavyas. And why is this so terrible in a marriage? Listen to this, Rabbi Yisrael. The Chazon Ish, I'm telling you something I've never told Bachram to my knowledge, but it's good to know about. The Chazon Ish, and whenever guys, I'm giving you the secret, to whenever Avrechem come over to me, this Chazanish stays in my head and does not leave, and it's helped me with thousands and thousands of situations and marriages. Without fail. You just hold on to this Chazanish. I'll teach you how to do it. Very simple. It's free. I'm giving it to you free. The Chazanish says that the Iker Ratzon of a woman, the Iker thing about what makes a woman tick, is to know that she's Matza Chein Be'enei Baila, that her husband likes her, finds favor to her. That's her Iker thing. If you know this, I'm telling you, it answers everything. You can go, you can pick restaurants based on this, you can pick flowers based on this, you can pick vacations based on this. You can do everything. How that works, I'm not going to get into. But that's what a woman is, okay? And when you take a wife and you say a sarcastic line, you know what you do? This woman is looking towards you to see her value. When you take such a person and you say to her something that makes her feel like a zero, you've destroyed her entirely. Destroyed her entirely. To the point where basically it's irreparable. It can't be fixed. I don't tell this to the married guys when they come over and they're like, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he said that. I like put on a poker face. Oh yeah, that happened to me too. I did that too. He's nuts. Said that? Okay, but now I can tell you guys. He said that? You destroyed her world. And now she's in the hospital. She's in the hospital. And it'll take months or years for some lines, and some will never go away. Because the pshat is, I did it. I made her into a non-factor. I made her into a zero. And we're doing this all the time. We're calling people out. You don't even have to say something negative. A guy is doing something with the food that you don't like. The passing situations. Who cares who gets first? If you want to stay away from machlokas in the dining room, what do you care? It's worth it. Schwartz, what are you doing? Everyone looks at Schwartz. You took a picture of him when he's naked. So what if he took first? So what if you asked for it? How tiny do we have to be here? Therefore, I'm going to mortify a person. I'm going to call that. You make yourself look so tiny. Who cares if he's going to come with us on a Shabbos for a chill? We feel so threatened. Our friends don't want to go with us. What, you have a problem with what I'm doing? Get a life. Be a person. You can't do anything on your own. Every time someone wants to do something different, you feel threatened by them. Such tininess, such children. So not what we're going for. So not what we're striving for. A person has to be makabel on himself. To be more positive towards people. Not just to be parif, to be more complimentary, to be a malbish arumim. Compliment your roommates. Compliment your friends. Highlight good things about people. Anything else is simply, you're out. Yeah, it's dramatic. Yeah, it's so many people. But buddy, you can either live big or you can live small. That's not an answer because everybody's an ape. So therefore, it doesn't make sense that the Gemara says that all these apes are stuck in Gehenna. It's a terrible thing. I hate when people speak to me this way. Don't you? You like it when people take a picture of you when you're naked? Nobody does. And everybody's just trying to get the other one back because we can't stand it. Finally, a person has to say, I'm bigger than this. Schlep himself out and be mechabed. And be'ezus Hashem, such a person who has a shaychus to kavod. And this is really what begadim are. Rabbi Yochanan said, clothes. He called his clothes his kavod. The clothes that he wears. Why? Because the clothes makes the man. When you're wearing good clothes, you feel like a winner. Right? We should be dressing other people. We should be malbish arumim. We should be giving people the proper kavod. We should be downplaying people's mistakes. We should be highlighting their milas. And anything less is simply not what we're here for. We should all be zochot to build batim nem Yisrael.